read to us by Hayley, and then followed by David, who's going to share God's word with us.
Today's reading is Luke chapter 4, and it is verses 1 to 13. It's Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, in these really, really, really troubled times, we turn to your word and ask that we'll bring out from it some encouragement, some direction for our lives, that we can make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the time had come for me, when I was working in the Ministry of Defence, to hand in my resignation to follow the path that God had called me on, to train for ordained ministry. I got a mixed reaction to this. Some people thought it was fantastic. Some people thought it was absolutely crazy. The majority weren't really sure what it meant, but they thought, well, it could only be a good thing to follow what your heart was saying to you. So I handed in my resignation, and then I was contacted by the personnel department, as it was called then, human resources, as it is now, and they offered me 3 years of unpaid leave. They probably thought when I worked it out of my system and it hadn't worked, well, I could still come back and take up my job again. I didn't seek this. It was actually quite a blessing because it allowed me to continue to pay back a loan that I'd been given for housing when we'd moved our jobs with them. So the 3 years went by, and by then I'd started my curacy in Luton. And the then personnel guy came out to see me. Now, the person who made the offer to me wasn't a Christian, but by now the guy who was head of personnel was a Christian. And I was thinking, what would I say to him? And actually I was hearing from my friends and who were still there, and they were beginning to get promoted to the next level. And I was tempted. I thought, well, maybe I could go back and I'd get a promotion, we'd have more money, bigger house, etc., etc. So this temptation was lying before me. And then in the daily reading, I read the verse that if someone has their hand to their plough and looks back, they're not fit for the kingdom. And with that word, those temptations were dispelled from me. Anyway, when the personnel guy came to see me, he was a Christian. And he said, "If I were you, I wouldn't come back." He said, "You're doing something far better," in his view. So that was kind of confirmed. But what I want to stress, that it's not that church-based ministry is superior to our daily work, whatever that is. I want to make that quite clear. The issue is, are we in the will of God in what we're doing? So it's for some, it's a calling in the workplace, other it's a calling in the church, but they're equally valid in God's sight to work for his coming kingdom. Oscar Wilde wrote, "I can resist everything except temptation." So our Bible passage today is about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Or is it about the testing of Jesus in the wilderness? Temptation, testing. There's a subtle difference between the two. Someone who sets us a test wants us to pass. But someone who tempts us wants us to fail. So someone who tests us wants to pass to show what we're made of. Someone who tempts us wants us to fail. So let's give some context to this episode early in Jesus' ministry. He just had the amazing spiritual experience at his baptism. The heavens had opened, God's Spirit had fallen upon him, and God the Father had assured Jesus that he is his son and that he was well pleased with him. "You are my son. With you I am well pleased." Jesus was absolutely assured of his identity at what was now the beginning of his active ministry. Jesus now knew that his calling was to bring Israel back to its purpose as a light to all nations. But how would he go about this task? That was what he had to work out. How would he go about it? And he sensed this such close presence to God the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit in him, that he could do many things and work in many different ways with this gift. So to discover this, he went to fast and pray in the wilderness. Indeed, we're told the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness for this very purpose. God the Father wanted Jesus to succeed and to find his will, but the devil wanted Jesus to fail and to bring him down. If there were any doubt that evil is at work in the world, we only need to look at what's going on in the Ukraine. It's desperate, isn't it? It's desperate. Absolutely. We need to be honest about it. It was wonderful to be able to praise God this morning because that lifts us above our natural feelings, but it is an absolutely desperate situation. Anybody doubts the existence of the devil, we only need to look at what's going on in the Ukraine, because he is the one that is behind all of this. Yes, God created us good, but as we know, we made bad choices and we fell. And Jesus' whole task is to bring it back online, to bring us back online to that goodness. If we deny the sin in our lives, our temptations, that is not there's no gospel. There's no gospel at all. Because we're all good anyway, therefore it's all going to be fine. And it's only through the work of Jesus Christ that there is a way back. So notice how the devil worked by trying to sow the seeds of doubt into Jesus' mind. "If you are the Son of God," he says, "if you are the Son of God." Jesus had been assured of his identity, and immediately the devil was trying to undermine that. Of course, this is just how the devil, in the form of a serpent, spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden, sowing seeds of doubt. Did God really say? Did God really say not to eat the fruit? The attempt to undermine Jesus' calling and ministry began in this subtle way, but became more blatant as the devil presented Jesus with three temptations, and we have in that reading like three scenes in a play. So the first temptation is about daily needs. It's about provision. Of course, Jesus would have been very, very hungry as he fasted. We said that he fasted for 40 days. He was hungry. Doesn't need to be said, does it? course he would be. The wilderness was not so much a sandy desert, but craggy limestone outcrops with little food to eat there. So the devil appealed to Jesus' need, challenging him, turn these stones into bread. Jesus could use his unique gifting to meet his own material needs. Indeed, he could go further than meeting his own needs by pandering to the material needs of others. Is this how Jesus would gain followers? If so, the needs would go on and on, wouldn't they? Jesus countered the devil by quoting scripture. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. As a young teenager, he'd have learned large portions of scripture by heart, which was the custom of the day. Jesus was soaked in these words, and this was his tactic, to use the word of God to resist temptation. Jesus was saying that he relied on God, was saying that he was relying on God the Father to provide for his material needs. So I wonder, do you have material needs at the moment? So let's pause here and to think about these needs and to bring them to God to ask for his provision. So let's just do that for a moment, quietly in our hearts. And so we come to the second temptation, power. We've had provision, and now we have power. Central to Jesus' calling was to proclaim the kingdom of God. That's where God's rule is evident, where God's rule is pervading, and people live according to God's standard, to God's principles, to his ways. It's not an earthly kingdom. It's a way of living wherever we are. And the devil made it look like actual earthly rule over the nations. He gave Jesus a vision of the kingdoms of the world. He says, all this can be yours. Jesus could bring people to follow him by using earthly power. But Jesus wants God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to choose to follow God's ways. Jesus wants us to follow him to receive the power of the Holy Spirit so we can live how he lives, seeking God's will and his purposes in every situation. And then once again, we see what the devil looks like when we see what President Putin is doing in the Ukraine. The way of flesh is to bring nations under control by force. Jesus could have done this, but he countered the devil again, quoting from Deuteronomy, "Worship the Lord your God by serving him only." God's work cannot be done if we compromise with the devil. In our intercessions later in the service, we'll be having further opportunity to be led in prayer for the Ukraine. But let's pause here to offer our individual prayers for this terrible situation. So again, let's just pause a moment. Sometimes the only way to pray is to pray with tears. and to pray in tongues when we don't know what to say. So the third temptation for Jesus was one of position, provision, power, position. The temptation was for Jesus to use sensationalism for people to follow him. The devil tempted Jesus to pull off a spectacular feat, to jump from the top of the temple in Jerusalem, giving a fall of 450 feet down into the Kidron Valley below. If you are the Son of God. Those undermining words again. The devil taunted him, then jump. And he said that the angels will catch you. The devil was even quoting scripture himself. He knows the words, but he did not understand their real power. And Jesus didn't argue with the devil. He simply made one authoritative statement in the power of the Spirit. Again from Deuteronomy, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It's no use arguing with the devil. We just tell him to get behind us. We have the authority to say that. In other words, what Jesus was saying, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It's wrong to make senseless experiments with God's power. Jesus wanted people to learn from him and to follow him through a measured decision. People often seek the spectacular, but sensationalism will not last. There were many around at that time who were trying to use sensational acts to get followers, and this was not the tactic that Jesus was going to use. So let's pause and pray briefly for those who we would love to know Jesus, to know who he really is, and to follow him because of who he is and not because of what he can do for us in spectacular ways. All human beings are open to temptation. Jesus was both human and divine, and in his humanity, Jesus was not exempt. In the letter to the Hebrews, it tells us that Jesus, our high priest, is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, as he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus is able to sympathize with our weaknesses as he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. St. Paul describes Jesus as the new Adam. Adam and Eve, the originators of humanity, were tempted by the devil in the form of a serpent. They succumbed to temptation by eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God had forbidden. But Jesus turned the tables for humanity. He allows us to begin again. He resisted the devil's temptations and so gives for us all the opportunity for a fresh start. Jesus passed God's test as he concluded his time in the wilderness, and Jesus continued throughout his life to do so. And during this time of Lent, we're focusing on the purpose of Jesus specifically, because he is the way of knowing God fully. As a loving Heavenly Father who gives us the gift of the Spirit. And ultimately, Jesus resisted the devil's temptation to avoid the crucifixion. The crucifixion was to look like a victory for the devil, but actually, He didn't realize that, and he tried to tempt Jesus away. It was 3 years later in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus prayed to have that trial taken from him. But then he prayed, "Not my will be done, but yours." As Jesus knew this was the path he had to take, it was the path of obedience, where Jesus finally defeated the devil on the cross and put him under his feet and ours. And he opened the way to the resources of heaven. So as we follow Jesus, we can pray for more of the Holy Spirit to resist temptation. We can draw on the Holy Spirit to bring to mind scripture, words of truth, to resist the evil one and his ways. Temptation is not a sin, but giving into it is. We have a choice. And a final word to help us realize when we can be most at the risk of temptation. And it's embedded in the acronym HALT. HALT, H-A-L-T. H is for hungry. A is for angry. L is for lonely. And T is for tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. HALT. In any of these conditions, we're the most vulnerable. When we recognize this, then we're able to recognize the whispering in our ear of the devil's temptation. We're able to turn to God and his word, and we're reminded of our identity as children of God, so we can resist and stay in God's will. We'll be able to pass God's test with a grade A and resist temptation. Then, bit by bit, God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven.